Social impact everywhere.
Welcome back, my fellow social impactors, to another episode of the Social Impactors Podcast. And today we have another special guest for you. We have Blake Bauer. Now, Blake is an author of the international best-selling book, You Were Not Born to Suffer. Each year, he helps thousands of people who cannot find effective support from conventional psychology, medicine, or religion. Blake is a world-renowned teacher and speaker with an extensive background in psychology, alternative medicine, nutrition, and traditional healing. So Blake, I want to start the podcast off by saying just a big thank you for being with me here today.
Oh, Avery, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
So let's jump into the first question. I kind of set a highlight of who you are, but I know there's a lot more. So I want to ask you the first question, which is explain a little bit more about who you are, what you do, and why you believe you're a social impactor.
Well, Avery, I guess that's a loaded question. I mean, at the foundation, you know, I'm just a human being who is doing his best to live in the world in a way that I feel good about, that helps me to be healthy and happy and to respect myself. And since I was a young man, what kind of developed inside of me was this drive to help other people with their suffering, because I had come from a background, a childhood and a young adult life of deep psychological and emotional suffering and a lot of drug and alcohol addiction. And as I got lucky enough to heal and find answers to life's biggest questions that I was desperate to understand, I really only wanted to share what I was coming to learn with other people in hopes that it would help them have a better quality of life, a better quality of health, a better quality of relationship, a better quality of their work or career life. And so I have committed basically the last two decades to my personal healing and growth, and then to helping now over 100,000 people all over the world. And I, you know, feel very lucky that, you know, I get to do that with my time here on the earth and my life.
So you have your book, You Were Not Born to Suffer. Give me an idea and explain a little bit about what that was, because I can imagine you're pulling from your own, you know, personal experiences, which you've talked about. But what is your book talk about, and what does it mean you were not born to suffer?
Well, Avery, as I mentioned, you know, at a young age, I found myself tortured psychologically and emotionally after years of drug and alcohol abuse. And I had hit a rock bottom at 18 where I was suicidally depressed and had no idea who I was or what I wanted to do with my life. And as I moved forward from that period, trying to understand how to heal and free myself from my own suffering, a big question that was causing me a lot of stress and pain was also, you know, what am I doing here? What is the purpose of my life? And so my healing journey and my personal growth journey went hand in hand with understanding and looking for what I felt to be my purpose for living, my purpose for being. And so that journey led me to five different universities where I studied all kinds of alternative medicines, like Chinese medicine, so Oriental medicine and acupuncture and nutrition and Western herbal medicine, psychology, nutritional medicine, and a whole range of other alternative therapies, just trying to understand the keys to health and happiness in a very natural and holistic way. And that journey also led me to a lot of different spiritual practices like meditation and yoga and qigong, which then became a part of my daily life starting in my late teens into my early 20s. And so, you know, I was really just on this quest to free myself selfishly from suffering and understand the purpose of my own life. And that just organically became my work with other people. And after working in that industry for many years, after studying in this field for many years, after, you know, practicing meditation and yoga and qigong, these different practices for many years, and then working with thousands of people over a number of years, I came to an understanding that a lot of our suffering, so a lot of our physical illness and a lot of our psychological and emotional pain, really boils down to us never learning how to love ourselves as children and not knowing how to take care of our thoughts, not knowing how to have a healthy relationship to our emotions, and not knowing how to have a healthy relationship to our body. And that dynamic then translates into not having the healthiest relationship with other people or with our work life or with food or with alcohol and drugs. And so when I had this clarity that a lot of my own suffering was from me never learning how to love myself as a child and therefore hurting myself and betraying myself on a daily basis in exchange for security, in exchange for approval, in exchange for acceptance, in exchange for love and affection, you know, from family or from a partner. And then also, you know, hurting myself just because I didn't know better. And I also then obviously realized that my parents never really learned, you know, how to have a healthy relationship to themselves, and their parents really never learned, and our teachers don't really know, and our religious institutions don't really know. And then I kind of realized that everybody's actually struggling with this self-destructive dynamic inside, and it's not talked about enough. It's like a forbidden, shameful topic for a lot of people to admit what's going on in their mind or what's going on with their emotions, because everybody's really just doing their best to get by and to survive and then maybe achieve some of their goals. And so when I had this clarity where I could see disease and depression developing in the body from the result of never learning how to love ourselves and treat ourselves with care and self-worth and respect on a daily basis, I really just wanted to share it with as many people as I could. And that's where the idea for my book came from, which then that was a whole nother process and journey to get that out into the world. But the intention was always just very genuine, pure desire inside of me to share with other people what I had personally been desperate to understand and transform. And then through, I had a private practice for many years where I would see the same thing, no matter what illness someone was struggling with or what kind of suffering or struggle they were facing, they were also suffering with these key lessons around how do I love myself? How do I value myself? How do I express myself in healthy ways? How do I work with all my thoughts and my the crazy voices in my head? I could see that everybody underneath whatever was presenting physically or whatever was presenting as the issue in their life, that underneath was the psychological and emotional lack of awareness, lack of understanding, and lack of self-care. And so again, I just really wanted to help as many people as I could understand practically how to love yourself, which means how to stop hurting yourself and stop letting yourself get hurt, so that people could just have a better life.
So you've helped over, you know, 100,000 people worldwide now, which is an astronomical number, but you've learned from your experiences, you've built this framework, you have this book that helped people. How is everything you've done and the things you will continue to do, how is that then making a positive impact in the world?
Well, I think, Avery, you know, it's easy to have these grand ideas, but in reality, everything really starts with who you are and how you are on a daily basis, you know, in your environment. So with, for example, your friends and your family is really important. You know, do you walk your talk with your loved ones and the people that you're closest to? And so for me, it starts with the people I care the most about. So my family and my friends and the people I see on a daily basis, like where I go for coffee or where I go get a smoothie or people I run into on a regular basis. And so I guess, you know, I personally, it doesn't feel good to me, and I've never really liked when I'm out in the world and people are cold and unkind. And I've always had this tendency towards kindness and, you know, being nice to other people. And so I think that's really where it starts, is that you are a good, loving, aware person in your immediate environment. And then as we move out from there and you go and you do whatever it is your career is or your work is, or you travel, then it's about bringing that love, bringing that kindness, bringing that awareness, and whatever your gifts and talents are, to other people. And so that's what I do with my work. And I think that's what a lot of people do, you know, with their vocation and with their work. And that's how we have this ripple domino effect, is by really just being the most authentic, loving, kind, aware person, wherever we are, doing whatever we're doing. And I think often we make it a lot more complicated than it needs to be. And we build it up as some fancy grand mission. But the truth is that it's really just about being so fully yourself, and in being true to yourself, not being aggressive and self-righteous because you have something to prove, but just being so genuine, having your heart open, being a vulnerable, real, kind, aware, personally accountable human being. And then everything good comes from that. So anybody who's doing really great work in the world and having a really great impact on the world, it has to start there. It has to come from there. Because again, you could also have this grand mission where you're, you know, you're great with other people and you're great when you go and you do your work. But if you come home and you're not good to your family, and you're not good to your friends, and you're not good to yourself, your work in the world is not sustainable, and you're not really walking your talk. And so I think it's really important to kind of break it down to, you know, where does the rubber meet the road, and you know, who and how are you to the people closest to you, not just to strangers, because it's the hardest to be your best self sometimes with the people who are closest to you, especially if those are where your triggers are from family, for example. So for me, it's balancing both who I am in my private life and who I am in the, in my public life out the world, and making sure that it's full of integrity and alignment and walking my talk.
Yeah, I walking your talk for me is living with intentionality, right? You have to live with intention. And when you do, you let yourself out in the world, right? You let people see you for who you are. Intentionality is so important.
I agree 100%, Avery.
So I'm curious to get your opinion on this then. We've talked about, you know, what you've done, who you are, and how you're building such a positive impact in the world with your healing. But from a lens of business, I want to know, do you believe this idea of social impact, because that is this podcast, do you believe social impact is an important part of business?
100%. I mean, you can't live in the world without having a social impact. Like I was describing before, when you leave your house and you go for coffee, or you go to the grocery store, you're driving, and if you're, you know, frustrated and angry and you have road rage, you cut people off, you don't let people in, you flick them off, you litter, you know, there's all these little things that you do on a daily basis or you don't do. And that's having an impact on the world that you live in and the world that we're co-creating. So it starts there once again. But then in terms of business and the work you do in the world, absolutely. Because, you know, I think now more than ever, we're aware of how our actions affect the planet and the people around us, with some of the issues with global warming and fires and even the pandemic that we're all going through right now. We see very clearly how, you know, our choices do impact strangers that we cross paths with on a daily basis. And so I think everything we think and say and do on a daily basis is shaping our life, our reality, and shaping the impact that we're having. And so for anybody who's listening, you know, deep down, you know, what's going on in your mind and your heart more than I do. And it's that energy, that vibration, that state of consciousness, how you feel, what you're thinking about, what you say, how you say it, what you do on a daily basis, whether you're at home or you're going to work or you're doing your work in the world, that is shaping the experience you're having, but also shaping the experience that the people around you are having. So if you're, you know, cup is not full and you're not in a good place, you know, you're going to have this inner toxicity going on or this struggle that's going to affect the people around you. And if you don't make a choice to do something about it, then you're going to have an impact on the people around you that might not be that healthy for you or for anyone. If you don't look for help or you don't try and help yourself. So again, it's, you know, everything really does come back to us. It's so easy to focus on externals, you know, other people, and the world is so messed up and the politicians are so messed up and the system is so messed up. But it all starts with us. And, you know, we're the ones who are going to change the system. We're going to change what some people call these social agreements, you know, how, what we think is acceptable in terms of relating to each other. You know, is it acceptable to treat another human being a certain way when you're walking on the street? Is it acceptable to carry yourself in a certain way in the world? Is it acceptable to say certain things to other people that are offensive? And the more we pay attention to these subtle choices that we make on a daily basis, really the better the world's going to get. And again, I think there's always this overemphasis on having this grand plan, but true change and having a real social impact is not about these huge initiatives and plans. It's really about who you are and what you embody.
Mm. So let's talk about, you know, embodying what you believe in and choices. Because this last question is going to pull on your advice. And I find that to make a proper choice, you need to have that initial foundation, right? And some people just don't have that. And it could be, you know, where they are in life, but you're a teacher, right? And you can give people great advice, and you definitely have, you know, 100,000 people you've helped. But the question I have for you to encapsulate it is, what would your advice be for people listening today to begin building their own impact in the world?
Avery, I would say the single most important piece of advice that I'll start with, and if we have time, I'll go to more, is to do a little bit of meditation first thing in the morning when you wake up. So before you do anything, you obviously you can go to the restroom and maybe have some water, but before you start your day, I recommend to everybody I work with that you take at least 10 minutes, so a minimum 10 minutes. And there really is no excuse to not take 10 minutes. If you make an excuse, it's just your own BS that you need to learn to get over. And so take 10 minutes to focus on your breathing and to feel your body and to observe your mind. And when you do that and you make yourself sit still for 10 minutes, even though the momentum in the morning is very powerful, where there's this inertia when your eyes open and you want to chase every thought you have, every worry you have, all the stress you have. You want to get up and you want to start doing stuff thinking that that's going to make you feel better, when in reality, you're just anxious and stressed and scared and insecure, and you're just chasing these unhealthy thoughts, which is kind of creating this anxious, stressful, fear-based life. And so if you can wake up in the morning and just sit and breathe and not go after every thought you have and not move and just observe your mind's tendency to run in various directions and pull you in different directions, but don't get up. What happens is you become really empowered at the core of your being, at the core of your mind, to be much more intentional, as you mentioned earlier, to make choices in what you do, why you do it, how you do it, what you say, why you say it, how you say it, so how you express yourself from the moment you wake up in the morning. And our thoughts and our habits first thing in the morning actually create and shape our day. So when we wake up, if our thoughts and our habits are all over the place and full of anxious, anxiety, stress, fear, then the impact that we're going to have on our own life and our environment and society at large when we go out into the world is going to be starting from that baseline of fear, stress, anxiety, worry, whatever is driving you in the morning. But if you can stop those energies from controlling you first thing in the morning by just sitting for at least 10 minutes and breathing and focusing on your body, and there are a number of different meditation techniques you can try, and one in particular that I like, which is really just focusing on your breathing, feeling your body. When your mind begins to wander or the voices in your head are active, you come back to your breathing and your body, and you just keep doing that over and over again, choosing to come back to your breathing and your body. Then when 10 minutes is up, or if you do longer, 20 minutes or 30 minutes is up, you're going to get up and you're going to be much more intentional and much more aware of what you're thinking, what you're doing, why you're doing it, what you're saying, how you're saying it, and then you get to choose the kind of impact you're having. You know, so if you're frustrated and stressed and anxious and you realize you're having that impact on the people around you in your environment, then you can say, you know what, I really want to work on this because I don't want to make the people that I love around me feel more anxious or stressed. I actually want to be a source of love and compassion and kindness and safety for the people around me. And so, but you will feel powerless if in the morning you don't exercise this type of awareness and intentionality.
So this is going to be a question just of my own because we've answered the template questions, but your morning routine must be quite similar, right? And why is meditation, or rather, when did meditation become so important to you? I'm just curious to see why it became such of importance to you. When was that?
So when I was 18, I had come off of years of drug and alcohol abuse, and I had played high school football and was a captain of my varsity football team with two of my best friends, and we all had offers to play college football. And I got a very bad DUI on pills and alcohol and cannabis and was arrested and then got kicked off the football team. I lost any interest that I had to play in university. And this is where I spiraled into this deep, dark place where I ended up in this suicidally depressed place where I was very tortured psychologically and emotionally. So at 18, a lot of my friends were going to work or going to school and seemed to be okay, whereas I was suffering very deeply in myself and had no idea how to articulate it, didn't have anybody I felt I could ask for help, didn't know where to go for help. And so I was waking up every day very tortured by my mind and very tortured by anxiety in my chest and just confusion and really paralyzed by these thoughts and emotions. And one of the things that helped me more than anything when I was 18 years old was learning a form of Buddhist meditation, which I still practice today, and I'm not a Buddhist. But this technology, this technique, this approach is, in my experience, the single most effective tool we can use to train our mind to create a safe container inside of ourselves to process all of our emotions so that we can wake up and live our day with that awareness, with that intentionality. So that's why it became such an important thing to me, because it really actually saved my life. And I'd say today it was the single biggest factor that has given me the strength to remain of service to so many people who are suffering deeply, which is a hard place to go to with some people. You know, when people are in a lot of pain mentally and emotionally, we've all been, you know, hurt by life and had our heart broken by life, by ourselves, by the people we've loved the most. You know, it's for some of us, it's not easy to show up for other people in that deep, dark place. But because I became so familiar with that deep, dark place and was able to train my mind in that deep, dark place and feel all my feelings in that deep, dark place, it gave me the power to help real human beings who are suffering instead of just, you know, say that I could do something. It's a whole nother, you know, I like the metaphor, you know, that, you know, if you know all the facts about the map, you know, like a map of the terrain, it's very different than having walked the terrain yourself. You know, so there's people who know all the facts about mental health or physical health, and they have degrees and they have credentials. But when someone goes to see them, they don't feel fully understood or seen or helped. Whereas when you have walked through the depths of hell and suffering yourself, you can take someone's hand and say, hey, you know, I know what it's like to have been there, and this is how I got myself out, and let me show you how. And so I'm very grateful both for the pain and for the healing that I found through a lot of different modalities, but meditation in particular.
Wow. So Blake, I just want to end the podcast today just by reiterating what I said at the beginning. Thank you for being with me here today. Also, wow. I mean, the depth of experience, what you preach and what you bring into the world, helping other people, we need more of it. And I can't wait to see where you continue with this. I imagine, you know, a million people is next that you're going to help. So I just want to say again, thank you for being with me here today to talk about this.
Well, Avery, thank you so much for having me, and thanks for having a podcast like this to get, to reach and hopefully benefit a lot of people.